Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining us this morning. I have my delicious cup of tea with me. Lizzie, good morning. How are you?
I thought you were going to say I was delicious for a second.
You are. You're just yummy. You're just yummy. What are you drinking this morning?
I am drinking three shots of espresso accompanied by some hot chocolate.
Okay, but did I see that you said something about eggnog this week?
Oh, my cheese and crackers. Okay, so Publix. Thank you, Publix. Not a sponsor, but I love you. They had their annual August. They brought in their eggnog ice cream. So I made me an eggnog milkshake. So, yeah.
There you go. You got a little touch of fall in the air.
Yep. You have another few weeks in September, then they'll release all the eggnog.
Oh, my goodness. Like, mm-hmm. So if you're not following Lizzie on Facebook, Lizzie, where are you on Facebook?
You find me at most social medias, Lizzie, that's Lizzie, said what, not says, said what. So Lizzie said what, and you can find me.
There you go. That's wonderful. Well, we had some rain this week. Finally, Orlando seemed to be like the wicked, redheaded stepchild. And we were not getting the rain. It would split, you know, right as the two coasts would meet together, and we would not get rain in Orlando, just little scattered drizzles here and there. But this week we have gotten over 3 inches of rain at my house.
Yes.
And so that is great. So Orlando, it says officially for the month of August, the first week, that we've gotten 2.5 inches of rain. It's still down 14 inches, but I think we're going to catch up. And Melbourne, you didn't even get an inch of rain this week, but you've had a little bit so far. So you're still good. You're only down 0.4 tenths of an inch for the year. So you're doing okay. Sanford got over 3 inches of rain, and they're down just about 2 inches for the year. Daytona Beach got nearly 3 inches, and they're not even down an inch for the year. So you've gotten enough rain this year. And then Leesburg, poor Leesburg, you didn't even get an inch of rain this week, and you're down 5 inches. So that's the local Central Florida area. Those of you up north, I think you've gotten a little bit more rain. You are doing well. South Florida, you are still in a little bit of a drought area there. But this week it's going to change a little bit. We're going to have rain this weekend, thunderstorms. Today, we've had some good thunderstorms for the last 2 days. I love lightning. Yes. I love thunder.
Yes.
And so the rain's going to continue. But then starting the beginning of the week, we're getting that dried Saharan Desert sand back.
Yuck.
Which is going to dry up the rainfall. It's going to keep that under control. So we have lower rain chances next week, 20 to 40% chance, which means, nah, you're not going to get any. And the temperatures are going to be low to mid-90s. So that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Mostly sunny all week, so we can catch up with what we need to do out in the garden. Just make sure you're drinking lots of water. And you've got that hat on so that you can stay hydrated, because that really can hit you very quickly.
And that's crazy because our one turkey, who she's a broad-breasted, and so she's a big girl, and she started molting. Well, when she molts, she loses looks like someone went in and just snatched all of her feathers off the back of her neck.
And don't you feel so sorry for her? Does she feel bad? Is it
she's
uncomfortable?
Oh, she it might as well be that time of month for her, because she is sassy as can be. Okay, she's normally sassy.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Oh. You know when children do that? Don't look at me.
I'll have to send you the video of her this morning. She had her head buried in what little bit of feather she had on the back of her back. And she goes, And I was like, Geraldine, big mama. And she is, and I'm just like, okay. But yes, so you're talking about the sun. So I let them go out, and they like to graze through the yard and the back in the pasture and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, but I had to keep an eye on her and do the counting time, because I'm like, she's going to get sunburned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. So I got,
how do you rub lotion on a turkey?
You don't.
Okay. There you go.
We use butter.
Oh, that would be that's very mean. Okay.
They wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know. Oh my goodness. So so the weather's going to be good this week for gardening and planting, because the ground has, if you've gotten a few days of rainfall, that's good for the ground, and it's not going to suck all the water out of your root ball when you plant it. So that's a good thing. And so we are going to be talking today about carrots. So we're coming up next month is a good time, September, for planting carrots. But we're going to be talking about carrots. So I'm going to give you a chance to, you know, have time to get seeds for it. And seeds are a really, they're getting to be premium now because everybody's ordering them. Mm. And so you want to make sure that you get the ones you want. So ordering early, well, that's a little bit over because everybody's getting their fall seeds.
Right.
But you still have a chance to get what you want. And I was looking last night, and the seeds I'm going to be talking about, you can still get. So give you a chance to do that. And I'm just telling you, to buying seeds, you can plant acres of vegetables if you have the property.
Oh, it's crazy.
You can buy 50,000 seeds for $200.
Yes.
Can you imagine planting 50,000 carrots?
You know what? I'll pass.
So that's
I can't even get my sunflowers in. I'm like, I'm still working. I just plowed an area to put all my sunflowers in to do like photo shoots this fall. And I still haven't gotten them in. I was just like, what is going on?
So I need to see pictures of Lizzie plowing. So we're going to be taking your phone calls today. Gardening Show, it's all about you this morning. You can call us 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I'll catch up. We've got some text messages from last week I'll be following up on. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. You have a gardening question? I'd love to help you with it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and I will respond. And sometimes I have to follow up because when you give me information, I need to find out more information. So when you text, go ahead and give me your name and your location. You can just give a city and a nom de plume if you don't want us to know your name. But we definitely want to make sure that we have the right information. Peterson's Nursery this morning is going to have it's going to be a seasonal weed control class this morning at 9:30. And you definitely need to take it. They're going to do the workshop. And I will tell you, last month, I was testing a product and I sprayed this herbicide on my driveway. And I left it for 5 days. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. This is a strong, potent herbicide and weed killer. And it didn't happen. And you know, during the summertime, when temperatures are 90 degrees and above, weed killers don't work like they should. And with all the rain you're getting, that could dilute it a little bit. So you want to make sure that you're, that if you're using an herbicide, that it says that you can use it when temperatures are over 90 degrees. During the summertime, you know, up north, 85, 90 degrees is a little bit different than 85, 90 degrees here in Florida. And when the temperature can feel like 108, you know, and I know they've been having warm temperatures up north too this year, but it's just a little bit different than the climate is there than it is here. So, you know, chemicals may not work as they should when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. So you want to be careful because if you're using it, we don't recommend using a weed killer on turf in the summertime. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to kill your grass. The turf isn't as strong as the weeds, and the weeds will just laugh at you, and your turf will decline. So you don't want to do that. And taking a weed control, seasonal weed control from Peterson's Nursery will be good. So let Howie and Karen know that you are listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and we appreciate them.
Yes.
So they'll be really good. What should you be doing this time of the year in August? Well, the temperatures are going to be a little bit lower this week because of the Saharan desert coming over. The temperature's going to be in the low 90s, maybe a couple of days of 95, 96. But right now, mango trees, you can prune them, and your lychee trees after you've harvested the fruit. And I laugh at harvesting the fruit of mangoes and lychees this year because they were frozen out. So if you got mangoes this year, you're very lucky. You're either in South Florida or your tree was small and you were able to protect it, take it indoors and keep it in the garage. But there's a big mango tree on my street and it still has a huge canopy of dead leaves.
Oof.
It's huge. I mean, it looks like an oak tree. That's how huge the leaves are and the canopy. And inside, all on the inside, once you get underneath, you can look up and all you have are wonderful, beautiful, fresh mango leaves. So if you haven't trimmed back your mango tree yet from cutting off all the dead wood, this is the time to do it. And especially if you've gotten any fruit. After harvesting, any fruit tree is a good time to cut it. Common sense. So you want to catch it before it starts producing new branches, new stems, and new flowers so that you don't cut the flowers off and you have some fruit. Also, right now you can check your pineapples. So when they're fragrant, so just be aware when you're down there and you see them start to turn yellow, starting to turn orange, you've got a limited time there to get them before the raccoons do. And so if it's very fragrant, go ahead and cut it off, take it inside and put it on your counter and let it ripen indoors. Feeding bananas is very important. You want to feed your fruit, fertilize every 3 months. You want to give it a consistent fertilizer regimen. Even if you have good soil, fruit trees need to have really nutrients, a good amount of nutrients, especially if they've been in the ground a few years. Okay. And so we have one of our text messages says, good morning, ladies. This is from Tony in Melbourne. I have a peach tree that is 4 years old and doing wonderful. We've never fed it before. When's the best time and what kind of food? So peach trees need a little bit of everything. You want to make sure that they have enough leaves. So that means the nitrogen is necessary. You want to have enough flowers to produce the fruit. That's where the phosphorus comes in. And then potassium is the overall health of the plant. It creates more stable cells that the plant can grow and mature. And so a 12-4-8, Tony in Melbourne, a 12-4-8 fertilizer for peach trees is what's recommended. And then you want to fertilize it every 3 months, starting in January, then March, and then also then in May, and then in September. August, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I've got all the months there. So January, March, May, and August are good times to fertilize your peach tree. And how much do you need to put down? I would say 3 to 4 pounds each time you fertilize. So that sounds like a lot, but you have to realize that those root systems, you know, need to make sure that they get the proper amount. You just can't take your hand and sprinkle it down underneath the outside edge of the tree and think it's getting enough. So, Tony, you want to do 3 to 4 pounds each time you fertilize. And then you want to fertilize after a rainstorm, never before. That way you don't lose your fertilizer to stormwater runoff. But also, too, the rainfall makes the plants hydrated so that they can handle the fertilizer, which at its base, all fertilizer is basically salt, you know, that nitrogen. And so you want to make sure that your plants are hydrated, especially during the heat of the summer and especially with the temperatures that they are. So the heat and the rainfall is going to be what you want to look for.
That makes sense. I never really thought about that, about it, you know, potentially just it needs to be well watered in. So before and
well, you want to make it sure the plant's hydrated so you can go ahead and, fertilize. Hmm. So, you know, I have done that. I learned the hard way. And so when you see a house plant or something, you go, oh, look, I haven't watered it in so long. Well, I'm just going to be so good to you. I am going to put some liquid fertilizer in the water and fertilize you at the same time.
Oop.
And the roots are desiccated. And when you put that liquid fertilizer down, then, you know, you kind of give it a base, you know, just giving it salt water. Mm. And that's not good for a dried plant. So you want to make sure your plants are hydrated inside and outside before you fertilize. Hmm. Okay? Let's, oops, there you go. Can you hear me? Yeah, you can hear me.
I can hear you.
My headset just went. So I don't know who this is from, but it says 30-year-old azalea beds have 30% sick plants in patches, and it's happening more and more each season. In addition, potato vines are becoming an unmanageable burden. Best to rip out all the azaleas, or do you have a suggestion? Root rot, any products kill the vine. Okay, so a couple of questions there. One is, are the azaleas on an irrigation system? Okay, so that's important to know, because if they've been getting adequate water, then the drought shouldn't have affected them. But if they're just azaleas that have been in 30 years and you're not watering them, or they don't have an irrigation system, the drought for the last 2 years has affected them, and that's, they're slowly going to decline. And so that may be the issue. Then have you fertilized it? So again, especially 30-year-old azaleas in that 30-year-old soil that they've been in, they've used up all the nutrients in the ground. So you want to make sure that you're fertilizing again every, you know, on a regular basis. And then with the potato vines coming up, tells me that it needs to have some mulch there, and also some, just a little bit of maintenance to catch the potato vines. And so one, you can't use an herbicide for vines in weeds that are in shrubs, because you're going to damage your shrubs too as well. So you're going to probably have to hand pull those potato vines for a little while and make sure you get them all out. And so I would dig around your azalea beds, find those potato tubers, and go ahead and remove them all. And it may just take, you know, one day, do it underneath your azaleas, get it done and over with, and then you won't have to worry about it so much. And then you want to make sure that they're getting watered, that they are getting fertilizer on a regular basis, and that you are just looking after them. So anything that's dead, you want to clip off, don't be cutting it in the same area each time, because it can get died back. And so you don't want to do that. Okay, great question. So if it's older than 30 years, so here, so let me give you my fertilizer recommendations. Okay, if you have a plant that is younger than 7 years, that it is deciduous, that it loses its leaves, that it has flowers and fruit, you need flowers to have fruit, and that it is not doing well, it's getting sick, it's dying back, it's got insect issues, you want to fertilize them on a regular basis. Younger than 7 years, deciduous, it loses its leaves, has flowers and fruit, and maybe it's not doing so well. It's sickly, it's not giving you fruit, it's not giving you flowers, or it's getting insect and disease issues. You want to fertilize on a regular basis. But if you have a plant that is older than 7 years, okay, a shrub, tree, flower, older than 7 years, has no disease issues, no insect issues, it's evergreen, and it doesn't have flowers or fruit, like your agaves, per se, then you don't need to fertilize it, okay? It's just not necessary. So you look at your plants and decide which ones you need to fertilize on a basis, and which ones you don't. Put it on your calendar to do it, and your plants will be healthier, and you'll have a nicer yard. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. It's so nice to hear your voice. Thank you for calling in. What's going on in your neighborhood?
Calling every Saturday.
We appreciate that.
Okay, my phenomenal lavender has decided to resurrect itself.
Okay, that's
I thought
good
it was
news.
Dead, but yeah, I've got some greenery coming up, and it's coming up on the top of it.
Okay.
So I guess I don't need to do anything to it, do I?
No, there's nothing you need to do. I would just let it continue to grow. Just make sure it gets watered. And then what I would do is then in October, end of September, first part of October, I would go ahead and very lightly fertilize it.
Okay.
And that'll give you, putting the fertilizer down then will give you about 2 to 3 months before the winter hits, which won't affect your lavender. It'll do fine, but it'll get it in time so that it can grow. So before the winter season hits. Yeah. Well, that's great news.
Yes, it is. And I hate to tell you this.
Oh, no.
But we have had rain every single day. And I'm telling you, it came down like you wouldn't believe.
I'm so jealous because we've just gotten rain the last 2 days, but for the last 2 to 3 weeks, barely a drizzle or a drop. So that's good.
Yeah, it's been like 8 days worth of rain.
Well, we definitely need it. Hang in there. It's going to be a little drier this week. But
yeah,
we
is.
Do need the rainfall, especially since we're not getting any tropical storms or hurricanes, which we definitely depend on for our, replenishing our aquifer. But no, now, that's good.
Yeah, but if it gets like 103 degrees on the porch again, is my lavender going to take another hit?
Okay, so tell me again, refresh my memory. Is it in a pot or is it in the ground?
No, it's in a pot.
Okay. I would actually kind of, I would decide whether I wanted to move it out into underneath a tree canopy, a tree area, and take it away from the heat of your house and your porch with the full sun.
Okay, well, we have roller blinds. So what I'm doing now is I'm shielding it from the sun.
Okay, good. Okay. That shouldn't be necessary, but we're in crazy times right now with the weather.
Yeah, I know we are. So, but I've been doing that because it's sometimes it's warm on the porch.
Yeah.
And if I have to buy an air conditioner for it, I will.
Oh. Well, we don't want you to do that. Okay, that's a little extreme. But
yeah, I know.
Some of your other plants might need the air conditioner.
For the morning.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. How are your African violets doing?
One looks dead.
Uh-oh.
The other one has all these new leaves coming up.
Okay.
And how about yours?
Mine are looking great. I'm going to tell you, they're in the west, on the west side. They're getting the western sun, but it's below the window. So they're getting the light, but not the heat and everything. And they're putting on new leaves like crazy. They've really grown. They've kind of doubled in size since I put them there. So I'm doing good.
Well,
I just want them to bloom. Okay, so we'll be jealous of each other's. I'm jealous of your phenomenal, and you can be jealous of my African violets. All right, Eileen, have a good day, hon.
Hey,
thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So Bill in Orlando, Bill, he texted last week, and I'm just getting it now. Sometimes when you text, it doesn't come until the show's afterwards.
Yes.
Or if you hear it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Then we're not here. So always text. We will get them the following week. So if I don't respond to them, just know that I will respond. And so Bill says, let's see here. We continue to lose our Italian cypress. We like to keep them in pots. What do you suggest we do for maintenance and the potting mix? Bill in Orlando. Thank you. Okay, Bill. We're just talking about lavender and, you know, Italy and Mediterranean hot, but it's a different kind of heat. Italian cypresses do not live in Florida well. They do not like it. Okay, they have to be extremely dry, and they have to have good air circulation. So they get mites a lot, they get disease issues a lot, and they it's really, really hard to keep an Italian cypress alive in Florida. So I'm just telling you that. Now here I've got some different choices for you so that you can get the look of the Italian cypress, but they can handle the heat, they can handle the humidity, which Italian cypresses cannot handle the humidity, and they don't get disease issues, okay? So number one, if you're going to plant it in your yard and you'd like an Italian cypress kind of look to your yard, then you want to use a skyrocket cedar, okay? And also, they also are called junipers too as well. But then if you, what I like for a really small one, especially for pots in a garden in the backyard, I love to use the Blue Arrow. This is a Blue Arrow juniper. Okay, Blue Arrow juniper. It gets 12 to 15 feet tall. It only gets 2 feet wide, Bill. Only 2 feet wide, so it's a great container plant. And you can just go online and find where they're selling them. You might have to go outside of Florida to have it shipped to you, but I know they'll ship really well. Nursery companies are doing it so well these days. Blue Arrow, and it is gorgeous. And it's just really, really skinny, Lizzie.
Oh, wow.
Really skinny, and it is blue.
I love that.
Oh, it is gorgeous. I'm putting it in yards, and they're doing great. But they can handle the humidity. They can handle the heat. Italian cypresses do not. And I see people putting them right up against their houses where there's no air circulation. And they'll live, you know, 2 to 3 years. And there are places, and I do see commercial properties with Italian cypresses in them, and they look fantastic. But if you will notice, they are in the full sun. They are separate. They're not near any buildings, and that they have good air circulation there. So,
yes. And if you love any of your trees or anything that you plant, stop planting them underneath electrical lines up against your fence, please. Because I'm telling you what, that has become a burr in my side, I guess you would say, with ours. Yeah, because the electrical company comes through and totally massacres my cedar trees around our property because that's how they were planted, you know, in the 80s. So,
yeah.
But just listen to what Teresa's saying. She knows what she's talking about.
Thank you, Lizzie. There you go. We're going to be back with my top five. What is it going to be this week? If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We'll be right back with your gardening questions. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this morning are my top five purple carrot varieties, purple carrots. They are, did you know, Lizzie, the carrots were purple before they were orange?
Oh, that I did not know.
Yes, so carrots were purple always. So number five, Cosmic Purple. This features a deep purple exterior with bright orange core, slightly sweet and nutty flavor. Matures in 70-75 days. It's great in raw and salads and relishes. You can get them at Gurney's Seeds. Number four, Purple Haze. This is an All-American Selection winner. Deep purple skin with an orange core, known for its sweetness and slightly spicy kick. It matures in roughly 90 days, ideal for salads and fresh eating. You can get that at Johnny's Selected Seeds. Number three, Purple Dragon. Developed for the Danvers-type carrots, its deep purple exterior, slightly sweet, and it's great for raw or cooked dishes. and it's considered a specialty cultivar for home gardens and farmers markets. And you can get that at Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. Number two, Deep Purple Hybrid. Purple inside and inside the carrot. Purple both inside and outside. Grows up to 8 inches long. Matures in about 80 days. Best that's used fresh and cooking, as cooking can dull its color. Johnny selected seeds. Number one, Purple Elite. Another vibrant purple variety with elegant yellow interior. Often used for colorful salads and decorative culinary presentations. Matures in 72 to 75 days. That is 2.5 months. Johnny's Selected Seeds. You can find those. And I will have them. They're going to post on our Facebook page. So you can see them. And you can go to the link and buy the seeds. So that is my top five this week.
I'm excited because I keep staring at my my carrot seeds. I'm like, what am I supposed to put them in the ground?
Well, you put them in the ground anytime late September, first part of October. So this gives you a chance to do them. And carrots do well here in Florida. So carrots are one of the easiest to grow, Lizzie. So you can grow them. They're perfect for Florida gardeners. They're ideal for containers or raised beds. And they come from Asia. Carrots have been cultivated for centuries, and they're prized for their flavor and for being an excellent source of vitamin A. No, they don't really correct your eyesight or help your eyesight as much. That was a myth that was used during World War II. And so they did that as a propaganda for their pilots were so good. The British pilots were so good that they... because they ate carrots. And so the part we eat is the root, usually bright orange, though the original colors were purple, white, red, yellow, and even black. So those rainbow carrots like Purple Haze, Yellow Bunch, and White Satin are making a comeback. The sizes range from short, chunky Chardonnays to long imperiators with many varieties perfect for pots. They thrive in the cool season. So in North Florida, you want to plant them from September through February in zones 8. And then in Central Florida, zone 9, you want to plant them October through February. And those of you in South Florida, zone 10 and 11, you can plant them November through March. Carrots are biennials, which means that they come up the first year and they produce their flowers the second year. And the flowers and seeds in their second year. But you just, most of the time, you will pull them before it goes to flower and bolts. Hmm. So they're pretty flowers, though. They're kind of like the Queen's Anne's lace. So because of the heat in Florida, they will bolt earlier. So, but if you do want to have the flowers, go ahead and just leave them in the ground and keep watering them. They will be just fine. They get, the soil needs to be loose and crumbly. If their soil is compacted or you have rocks in the soil or clay, the shape of the carrot can get stunted. They need moisture, so they're going to need to be watered on a regular basis, whether it's in a pot, which may be every day during the heat of the summer, or you need to, have an irrigation system and water them when they're in the ground. You want to space the seeds 2 inches by 12 inches, and the seeds are really, really, really tiny. They will take 1 to 2 weeks to germinate, and you want to fertilize with a 5-10-10. So not a lot on the nitrogen. That's going to give them more leaves. You don't want the leaves. You want the roots and the flowers. And so 5-10-10 is the fertilizer you need. So that's going to be putting all the energy into the root. And then depending on the varieties, 70 to 120 days to mature. And then like sunflowers, you can stagger them. So you can plant maybe, 20 carrots 1 week. Then the next week you plant 20 more. Then the next week you plant 20 more. And you'll have carrots all through the wintertime. Very important, when you plant carrots, the root system, you want to rotate your crops. So you don't want to plant carrots over and over again because the possibility of disease and insects is a big deal. And we have an issue in the state of Florida with wireworms. And I'll talk about wireworms in just a minute. But you want to rotate your crops, so you don't want to plant carrots there the following year. You want to either do beans or lettuces, leafy greens, cabbages, and kale. And you don't want to do a root crop. Okay, that's very, very important. So carrots are easy.
Okay. Were we not supposed to plant our green beans already?
You can plant your beans.
Okay, yeah, because I just planted like 3 packs of my green beans 2 weeks ago, not know one thing. So then I dug down, there's nothing. So I don't know what happened. So I just went and bought more green bean seeds and put them out.
Do you remember last year when you said, I don't know what happened to my seeds and I don't know where they went, and you planted more? What was that? What was the vegetable? You started having more and more and more.
It's chaos. You know what? My life is just chaos with a garden. I need to hire a gardener.
Okay, so are you checking in the right place? Did you check the place you planted them? That's why signs and labels are good.
Oh, God, that's such a good idea.
That way you can say, no, I know I definitely planted it here. Okay, so sometimes you may have thought you planted it there and you didn't. It was over on the other side of the yard.
I feel attacked right now.
I'm so sorry. Let's take Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Teresa.
How can I help you?
Yes, I would like to know what you think of the Louisiana purple and gold figs. I've had the brown turkey for years, and this has been pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And I had Celeste, but it seems to be very sensitive and not very good. And what you thought of the Louisiana ones, because I want to get something better.
Okay. Well, the Celeste and the brown turkeys are the ones recommended that do the best in Florida. So I would have to know, you know, a little bit why the other ones didn't work. But so do you buy the shrubs or do you buy them as 1 gallon plants or?
Yeah. Yeah, I had them as plants, and I plant them in the ground. And the brown turkey does good,
uh-huh.
And I've had that for years. The Celeste doesn't seem to make it very well there. And I was just wondering if I could do better with the Louisiana, purple or gold.
Well, I would try them. I mean, you're always, if you find them. So here's the thing. So if they're sold in the area, I would try them and see how they do for you. Because new varieties are always coming on the market. And so if it says Louisiana there, we're close to Louisiana. And Louisiana has the same kind of humidity and rainfall. They just may not be as hot in certain areas as what you get there in Citrus County. So, but I would try them and then you can come back and you can tell me.
Oh, okay. I will. And the other question I had is there's quite new developments here. They're planting quite a few queen palms.
Uh-huh.
And they don't look too good. Do they come back? And is there something better out there? Is there a hybrid one or something?
No, the palm trees really took a hit this year. How long have they been the development? How long have they been in the development? Were they there this winter? Okay, so yeah, the winter time really, queen palms will freeze out very easily. We don't recommend them, you know, this far north.
Yeah, what happens? Does it stop growing? Something like that?
No, it just actually freezes. It dies, you know, or it gets damaged.
Plant?
Yeah, the whole palm tree. But also, too, when it goes through freezes like that, then they become more susceptible to disease and insects.
Yes.
And there are palm diseases that are wiping out the state. And when we get these freezes, then they're just not strong enough to handle the cold. So I don't recommend queen palms for this area. You know, you can do, there's other palms that are much more stronger. And, foxtails and queen palms are just really too different. Wow, that hour went by quick. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. Lizzie, we're going to be back with more phone calls and your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We're going to be right back. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of the show or want to recap any other shows, you can go to betterlawns.com. That is betterlawns.com.